What's up? Today I want to talk about boundaries. The importance of setting boundaries is in one's life, and the importance of understanding said boundaries. Boundaries en français. C'est les frontières. Non, c'est pas ça. Des limites de relations, I guess, des limites émotionnelles. And I think it's important to talk about it because, depending on if you're a man or a woman, from recent understanding, les gens qui vont être plus pragmatiques, plus cartésiens dans leur approche et analytiques d'eux-mêmes vont avoir une plus grande facilité à acquérir, à mettre des limites dans les relations et d'établir les relations de valeur qu'ils veulent avoir envers eux-mêmes et envers les relations qu'ils créent ou qu'elles créent avec les autres. Puis, de mettre des limites relationnelles ou émotionnelles, c'est important aussi par rapport au fait de comprendre Pourquoi on le fait? Ok. Fait que, essentiellement, là, je te donne un exemple. Mettons que toi, quand tu essaies d'avoir une conversation avec ton ou ta partenaire, une conversation difficile, sa réaction, c'est de tomber dans une réaction soit de victime ou une réaction très émotive, forte. Puis, you have a hard time, you know, having a conversation in these situations because that person is reacting very emotionally. Now, they could be emotionally manipulating you at that point, and to set boundaries is to say to yourself, I do not accept being emotionally manipulated. And it's important to do that mentally for yourself and also to the person to whom you're trying to entertain a relationship with or maintain a relationship with, because you want to make sure that they understand what's going to happen and what's happening. So as soon as you set that boundary, like I will not accept to be emotionally manipulated, what it tells yourself is that, one, you are worth something, you're worth respect, you're worth whatever you say you're worth at that point, kind of. And also, the end result is that if you end up stop talking with this person, they'll have the choice to understand and accept that they've been reacting irrationally to their advantage emotionally. And by doing that, has been either disrespecting you or emotionally manipulating you in a way in which you will not tolerate anymore. So at that point, they have the option to either or reflect on themselves and or just don't care and blame everything on you. And then you kind of know where you stand on that, because you already told yourself you're not going to accept that emotional abuse, and therefore you're doing something else, you're leaving, you're not entertaining a relationship with this person anymore, and you just saved yourself a lot of problems. We've spoken about this a bit earlier in the earlier podcast, but I think it's really important to understand and to promote and practice this setting of boundaries. Boundaries can be set in pretty much any sphere of your life. It can be professional, it can be personal, relational, any social sphere also, where setting up a boundaries with your friends could be you not feeling comfortable somebody making fun of you in front of people you don't know, and you speaking up and saying, hey guys, next time, please don't do that. Doesn't make me feel good. I don't feel comfortable. If you feel like it's important enough that you need to express yourself spontaneously or you react strongly emotionally on the spot, but then come back and explain the situation and that you're sorry that you lashed out, but this is the kind of thing that kind of triggers you. So you're working on yourself and making sure that you're trying to prevent these type of things from happening. But it'd be nice if your friends, also having your back and being your friends, don't trigger those situations, right? And that's setting a boundary. So a boundary is basically just setting up a rule for how things should go down. It's like playing a game, it's like video games or anything you want to do. There's always rules, but these rules are applied knowingly by you to your surroundings. And so by doing this, it simplifies how you navigate through life. And yeah, that's pretty much it on boundaries on point of relationships. Because for instance, you know, it could be a lot of things. It could be emotional abuse. It could be on, you know, work. Let's take that perfect example, which I've used in the past. You're going to work and you're doing your 9-to-5, and then you're being asked to work overtime, or the next person after you doesn't come in. Do you have the obligation to stay in at your job and cover for the other person? You don't have to do that. You actually legally and ethically and morally do not have to do that. This is not your business, nor should people assume that you're going to go above and beyond to do everything that you can to make sure that they make money. It is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is whatever you signed as a contract in exchange for your time and goodwill to do your job properly. You're getting a wage out of it. That's the transaction that's going on there. So if you have a bit more empathy than others and you do want to hang out and stick out, that's cool. But if you do it once, let's say you stay an extra hour or 30 minutes and the boss comes in or finds a replacement, you know, in that case, it's cool. But if they assume that you're going to be doing that every time without actually checking in with you or making sure that you're properly compensated for something that you've never actually been trained for or something that you've never actually been on board with, then they're taking advantage of you at that point. And that's another boundary you want to set. You want to go and see your boss and be like, hey, I understand that you're having a rougher patch or whatever, and I wish you the best, but you need to understand that I have my own shit going on and I can't cover any extra shifts. I'm working this job because we agreed that these shifts were the ones I needed and it both suited our narratives. And so at that point, I can't do anything more for you. And if they're like, oh, please, I'll make you, you know, whatever. Oh, you should, because this could go in a lot of different ways, right? They could try to be oppressive. They could try to be nice, understanding. They could be, you know, mean about it. And in which case, you know, if they're trying to like abuse you, you need to, again, speak up and be like, what I'm hearing right now is that you're upset and that you're trying to pressure me into doing something that's ethically and morally not okay. I just want to let you know I understand what's going on, but I also know where you're standing right now. So, you know, I do what you got to do, but I'm not doing any extra shifts. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything. I just need you to understand that, like, I have my own stuff going on and I can't be, this is not, you know, the limit of my implications. And that's okay. Yeah, Gary Vee talks about it and a lot of others where if you work somewhere, you shouldn't expect your employees to give the same amount of dedication and heart in something that you've built out of your own blood, sweat, and tears. Like, these people just need a job and they just want to work to get the money. They don't necessarily care about the fact that you're going to go over or under. They're going to find another job at the end of the day. So setting boundaries is really, really important because it's going to make sure that you're respected in all the spheres where you're going to put them, either emotionally in emotional relations, or with friends, with family, with colleagues. And those boundaries are not necessarily set with words, but as mammals, we constantly reevaluate and assess and impose boundaries on others, just by how we are with our nonverbal cues and how we are with how we react to a given situation, given that somebody is observing you at the time that you're reacting to that said situation. So, for instance, you go out with your friends every time, and every time somebody, burps in your face, you go and sit on the opposite side of the table. You know, that's kind of a indirect way to set a boundary where clearly you're uncomfortable with the situation. We're seeing you move from one spot to another. People should be able to understand and assess the information. But if, let's say, that happens and you push your friend and you're like, the fuck's your problem? That's also a way to set a boundary. It's not the most efficient ways to set boundaries, and it's not the cleanest ways, but there are still other methods to setting boundaries to each other. So the same way where, let's say, you interrupt somebody and they get really upset and tell you to shut up and or let them finish, and they react very emotionally or very strongly on a said situation, well, that's also them kind of setting a boundary of, please respect me because you're being rude, kind of thing. And so boundaries are really important, and they really will help you navigate through life. The other thing that kind of correlates with boundaries that I wish to share is your baseline values. Those also will help you set your boundaries. So what do I mean by baseline values? What are the things or situations that you do not compromise on? What are things that you must have in relationships that if they're not there, you're not going to entertain a relationship or maintain a relationship with somebody? For instance, respect. For me, that is a base core value of the foundation of me being me. Respect is very important. So if you cannot respect me, I will not entertain a relationship with you. That being professional, friendship, love, you name family, I don't care. If you do not respect me, I will not maintain a relationship with you. It's just not worth it. So that's one of my founding bases. The other one that's really important to me is the will to understand, to somebody who's comprehensible. To me, that's another very important founding value, right? My base value. And not having that in a relationship, to me, makes things very hard for me because of the way of how I think and how I express myself. Sometimes I speak out of something that I thought in my mind, but doesn't make much sense when I speak it out loud, because clearly the person listening to me just missed the steps that just happened in my mind. So in those cases, to have somebody that can understand and is willing to, you know, question and look for understanding, is much desired. Something that I also avoid as a base value is the people who are, I'd say, obnoxious. People who are self-absorbed. I tend to have that also as a core value, to avoid these types of people or just not entertain any type of discourse with these types of people, because it's just not worth it. Unless somebody is using a language that shows me that they're compromising or they're willing to try to understand another point of view, I will not entertain a conversation with somebody like that. It's like trying to talk with a crazy person and using logic for some reason. You think that's going to work. No, it's not. And yeah, I think that's one of the really big important ones. Just being able to properly communicate for me is really, really important, because there are also contexts in which you say certain things that should be taken into account. Not everybody has that ability to discern those types of information easily, but usually as a social group called humans and like friends, you should be able to understand fairly well certain things and certain aspects of when is it appropriate to pull down your pants, right? I think that's just common sense. There are laws regulating those kinds of behaviors, but still, I think we're smart enough on average to accept and understand and appreciate those things. Sorry, drinking water. So, talking about people who are self-absorbed and how I analyze them and how I look at them is when people talk or write in non-verbal language, the use of certain words that mean similar things is important, because that's the nuance between the implication of what is said. And so how I base my judgment on what somebody says is listen to what they're trying to say and which words they're using to say it. I think that's really, really important, because the same, because that's just a choice of words is one of the big things in nonverbal communication. So let's say I'm having a conversation or discourse with somebody, and a recent one I had was, a lot of women, were victim of domestic abuse and all men are responsible. And when I listen to that, I'm like, okay, so you're generalizing on one side and you're nitpicking on the other to kind of like justify your narrative and the thing that you're trying to say, right? The way they're using the words all men and, or just men in general and some women, to, you know, separate most women or some women from the issue at hand, where by doing that, you're showing me that you have a set goal and you're showing me that your idea is already preconceived and you're not necessarily willing to change, and you're trying to force something on me, which I'm not okay with. So that's one of my, you know, core values that I'm employing for myself towards others. So when I do that, and when somebody does that, I try to narrow down what are they actually trying to talk about. So like, what is the point you're trying to make here? Because I'm here, I'm seeing what you're writing, or I'm listening to you and I see what you're saying, but it feels like you're trying to say something else, or your narrative here has a specific agenda. Could we know what that is? And by doing that, I kind of like diffuse the situation and try to not attack the person, but what is said and what is brought. Because, so I'm having a series of conversations recently with people about the statistics of domestic abuse as well as rape victims. So a lot of the rape crimes are committed by men. I could also say most and or almost all of, but again, I think using some of these words doesn't necessarily devalue what it means, but it also, with today's climate, prevents a certain level of fear installation to take place in regards to, like, if you start talking about all the statistics about men being violent and start berating people with that all the time, even though 5% of people in our society are the people who commit violent acts, but if most of that 5% are men, physical violent acts are men, well, in this case, what's going to happen is that people are going to start believing that every man is one of those 5%, and then it's just going to have a negative effect on everyone. So I think it's one of the implications of just being careful of how you inform or talk about things, even though things could be very close to your heart and or very important, it's really crucial that you or we use the proper terms and proper communication skills to convey messages. So does it still match with setting boundaries? I think it does, because if you set, for me, setting myself a boundary of communicating properly is important, I have also applied that boundary to myself, which is really, really important. So when you look at people who do end up having a really strong conversation with you, and they're using very general terms, and the way they spin their sentences makes it clear that there's only one reasonable outcome, and you're actually trying to have an intellectual conversation with them, it's pretty cool if you can point it out, and being like, so I feel like this is what you're saying, I feel like this is what this is what I'm hearing from you, is this what you mean, kind of thing. And usually if the person tries to explain themselves in a way that you can rationally understand, that's cool. It's already a really good step in the right direction. If not, they might try to ridicule, they might try to make fun of you. They might try to belittle what you're saying, or even if, like, let's say you made a mistake or you said something wrong and you're like, oh, sorry, I was wrong on that. I meant something else. And they're like, well, earlier you said that. And I'm like, oh, we cleared that up. Like, we both understood that that was a mistake that I made, and we went and accepted it and went through on with the conversation. And now you're trying to say that is the argument for me not being able to communicate properly, or to say that everything else that I said was wrong. Is, you see, like, those types of things are signs that the person that you're actually having a conversation with is not actually trying to engage in a good, healthy conversation. So those are like they're cues, but in the word selection, they're not in the tonality and intensity of what is being said. They are in the selection of words that is being used. And I think that's important. Talking about that kind of stuff, there is a comedian that made a really good assumption with stats that I think it's appropriate to speak of, since the conversation I'm having here is like, you can use stats to make things up that shouldn't make sense. So the stat was like, there's 7.8 billion people on the planet, and there's 1.2 or 3 billion Chinese people. That means that 1 out of 5 babies is Asian or Chinese. And so if you have 5 children, there's a 1 in 5 chance that you have an Asian baby. So that was kind of the joke, where just using stats and saying stuff about, you can manipulate information, basically. So that's why it's really important to just be mindful of who you speak to and how they're using their words to say what they mean, because that usually shows where and why and what they're trying to achieve. Sometimes I have a conversation with people and they're like, I'm saying this, and I'm listening to them and we're saying the same thing. And at that point I'm like, okay, so we agree on that then. And they keep talking like they don't listen to what you're saying. And at that point you're like, so this person just enjoys listening to themselves and they don't actually care about what I'm saying or the conversation we're having. They just want to feel listened and or feel like they have a certain level of power. And in which case, you know, you do whatever you want with that information. But if that happens, I usually just pull the plug in the conversation, because I clearly see that they're not in a rational state at that point. And again, so that's me setting my boundaries on myself and others. And I think if you could learn to put up your boundaries with your friends and families and learn to appreciate yourself and respect yourself and learn which core values are the most important to you, then yeah, you think you should definitely be able to make things a bit easier for yourself and save yourself quite a bit of trouble. You know, I was talking to a friend that was explaining to me how they're just learning to set up boundaries for themselves because of certain things that happen in their lives make them react emotionally. And when that happens, they have a hard time seeing what is actually happening. And by putting up those core values and boundaries, I think core values, like we mentioned, people who are prone to communicate, people who respect each other, people who are looking to understand and not just impose themselves and react to everything. Those are some core values that if you're looking for a partner, or if you're a business partner, love partner, new friends or whatever, I think those are the things that you kind of want as base core values. Because just having a friend that shares in common your passion for books, but doesn't actually take the time to listen to you whenever you speak, or doesn't care about you enough to ask for your opinion or like want to know what you're about, then yeah, you might have made somebody that shares an interest with you as a relationship status, but friend, but at the end of the day, they don't give a rat's ass about you, and you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody like that because it's just not beneficial for you. So the groundwork is there. The groundwork is achievable. You can lay it down, and it should be fairly, I don't want to say easy, but I mean, if you understand how to navigate your relationships through that, I think it's going to make things easier, most definitely. Because when you know where you stand and you know why you're doing what you're doing, you don't feel bad about, or as bad about, making a rational decision to cut off somebody from your life, even though they're your dad, your mom, your boyfriend, your sister, your cousin, your best friend, because you understand that they don't respect you or they don't go in line with your core values and beliefs. And if when that happens, your emotions just get trampled, and you do not want that, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to back you up. At the end of the day, you're alone and you have to, you know, fight for yourself. So make sure that the fight is on your home turf, and that the fight is made with tools and weapons that you know how to use, and make things easy for yourself. Don't make your life hard for no reason. Life is hard enough as it is. You need to pull all your muscles just to breathe. So think about that.